is about spiritually based colon cancer education, and Dr. Chastity Roberts McDavid will present the study.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Chastity Roberts McDavid, and I am from the University of Alabama at Birmingham, Division of Preventive Medicine. And this morning, I want to talk to you briefly about our church-based colorectal cancer education program, which is truly a spiritually based educational program because it was framed in health. The health message was framed using spiritual content. And so I'll talk to you about the difference between the church-based and spiritually based and tell you a little bit about how our program ran. So I'll talk to you a little bit about a background, give you some information about the study itself, talk a little bit about the feasibility of the study, our preliminary evaluation discussion, and then our conclusions. African Americans are disproportionately affected by colorectal cancer. Much of that has to do with the screening rates among African Americans. African Americans underutilize screening across the country, especially in the state of Alabama. 41% of African Americans have ever had a blood stool test, whereas 46.7% of their white counterparts have. And that's pretty consistent among all of the different colorectal cancer screening tests. The role of culture in the lack of screening has a lot to do with racial pride, collectivism, time orientation, and religiosity. In so much that religiosity plays a central role in the lives of African Americans, especially for those who are older, hence the need to try to utilize a spiritually based communication. The types of interventions. There's a movement towards more culturally appropriate health communication interventions. We have seen the transition from community based to church based to now spiritually based. And I'll talk a little bit about the difference. Community-based interventions are conducted within the community. They often are facilitated and developed by members of whatever priority population, and the content usually includes health information and other culturally relevant themes. Examples of such programs are Beauty and Trim. These are colorectal cancer education programs out of the University of North Carolina, and they are conducted in beauty salons and in the barbershops. And so, again, the message is framed in a context in which people understand. But again, it's not necessarily any type of spiritual motivation or church kind of motivation that's involved. Church-based interventions are conducted within a church setting. They use existing health messages and medical content. They may include more general cultural content. The cultural content may be identified and pre-tested by community members. And an example of that is a WATCH program, which uses lay health advisors to encourage screening. Again, with church-based educational programs, these programs are conducted within a church setting, but are not necessarily religious in any way. And so usually these programs are possibly utilizing ACS or CDC health print materials, and they are just presented in the church by someone who they trust. And so it's not necessarily spiritually influenced at all. Not to say that it couldn't be, but it's not necessarily. Spiritually based interventions, they are conducted within the church setting. They use existing health spiritual themes to support the health message. They are selected scriptures are used to reflect and support the health message. They include more general cultural content as well. And the spiritual content is identified and pre-tested by community members. And an example of that is the Witness Project, which utilized lay health workers to present the health message in a testimonial fashion. And so that's the whole witness concept. You know, in the African American church, witnessing is talking to somebody else about how you believe, maybe something you've experienced, it's a testimonial. And so it was an opportunity to not only use scripture, but to use spiritual themes that people could relate to. And so that is an example of a spiritually based intervention. The gap in science is that there are church-based interventions in the African-American community, but they focus more so on breast cancer screening, cervical cancer screening, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, weight loss, physical activity and nutrition, and smoking cessation. There are a few programs that deal with colorectal cancer screening in the church. However, these programs only use the church as a venue. these programs, we have not found any programs that really focused on utilizing a spiritual message as well as a health message in order to increase the level of cancer screening rates. So our study, is a four-year project. In the first year, it was more administrative kinds of things. That second year, we used developing the intervention. And the third year, we were actually in the intervention implementation phase. And so we're actually just closing that period out. And in this last year, we'll do more of the evaluation of the entire program. We developed a pilot test of spiritually based cancer communication intervention to increase colorectal cancer screening among African Americans age 50 plus. We implemented the intervention among 480 African Americans recruited through 16 local churches. Now, actually, we didn't implement it among 480. That was our recruitment goal. We actually ended up with more like 360. But I'll talk to you a little bit about how we ended up with that number. We evaluated effects. The plan is to evaluate the efficacy of intervention for colorectal cancer screening and health belief model based on the outcomes using a randomized controlled trial. The intervention structure, we recruited 16 churches in the Birmingham community, and we randomized those churches to a spiritual or a non-spiritual intervention, 8 spiritual, 8 non-spiritual. Each church conducted 2 educational sessions 1 month apart. They were facilitated by community health advisors and supported by the project staff. Our primary outcome was to look at screening rates, and it was through self-report. Secondary outcomes was to look at the knowledge of colorectal cancer screening, colorectal cancer, the perceived benefits of screening, perceived benefits of barriers of screening, self-efficacy for screening, and the behavioral intention for screening. Measurement, we conducted a baseline survey prior to beginning the educational sessions. We conducted a first follow-up survey at the end of the second session, and then 12 months after the first session, we conducted the final survey. This particular talk will focus on the baseline and the post-test, the first follow-up. We hypothesized that there would be higher rates of colorectal screening at 12 months, that there would be higher levels of knowledge about colorectal cancer screening, that there would be a report of higher self-efficacy, perceived benefits, and behavioral intention for screening, and that there would be fewer perceived barriers to screening after the education. The intervention was developed in the period of 1 year, and we had a lot of success. It was a lot of grunt work and grinding because we had a very small staff. And so we spent 7 days a week at the whim of the community. Whatever they said, we were there. And so I lived in my car. The theoretical framework, we utilized the health belief model. We had an advisory panel that helped us to develop the spiritual message. And this committee was based upon clergy members. We had a chaplain. We had several people from the community who were just considered to be leaders in the community. We had someone from a colorectal cancer medical facility who was a part of our team, all African American, but they were there to help us to develop the print materials. They were our guiding force. They weren't the only ones, but they were our guiding force. We used focus groups to help us to actually tailor the message. We also used the focus groups to help us to make sure that the final print materials were appropriate and acceptable to the community. And so they helped us to identify not only content, but helped us to frame that content as well. And then we used cognitive response interviews to make sure that the actual message itself was understandable. And so we tried to make sure before we released anything that we had the approval of the community to do so. And it took us about a year, as I mentioned. Church recruitment, we recruited these 16 churches over the course of 2 months. And so again, it was really, that's something kind of unheard of because you usually have to spend a lot of time building these relationships. However, we had an advantage because I am a licensed and ordained minister in the African American community. So I had the knowledge as to how to talk to and appeal to pastors. And so in doing so, I was able to gain access to these churches a whole lot faster than the average person. And also, we had some referrals. And so between the referrals and then actually being able to have these conversations with the pastors to build the trust immediately, it just helped us to not only recruit these churches, but to sustain them in the program. So that was really good for us. our child recruitment, again, because we had built the relationship with these churches, we were able to identify, recruit, and train our child in 2 months. Again, it was hitting the grind. We were working 7 days a week, making it happen, and we had our advisory panel to help us to develop our child training manuals, again, to make sure that they were equipped with all of the knowledge that they needed to not only present the medical content, but to also present the health message. I mean, the spiritual message, because the spiritual message, some of these people were ministers, but some of them were not. Some of those were just members of the congregation. So it was important to make sure that we provided them not only with the spiritual piece, but the medical piece as well. Participant recruitment, we were recruiting between 20 and 30 participants in each church. We advertised through word of mouth, church bulletins that we created, church announcements, pastoral endorsement from the pulpit. And we had sign-up sheets and pre-enrollment screening forms available at the actual churches. And so people were allowed to either call in and we screened them by phone, or they were able to just show up at the church and they received an additional screening. Preliminary evaluation, our baseline data, we had 16 pages. However, don't be alarmed, it was not 16 pages of 12-point font. It was 16 pages of pictures and diagrams and all those kinds of things to help people to associate the name with the actual test. Because you could say fecal occult blood test, but half of the people would not know what that was unless they saw pictures of three cards and a stool sample. And so we tried to do that to make it as friendly as possible. It took about 30 to 45 minutes for each one of those surveys. And our population, average age was 62 years old, most female, half of them were married. The majority of them had more than a 12th grade education, and half of them were employed. This is pretty consistent among African American churches in the South in urban areas, and so that was no surprise to us. Baseline findings, colorectal cancer knowledge. Across the board, colorectal cancer knowledge increased. You'd be surprised how many African American women did not know that they had a colon. And that was something that was really important for us to find out during the focus group test and those kinds of things. And so we were really adamant about making sure that we had representation of women, since the majority of the people that we were going to be reaching out to were women in the African American church. And so that was something that was really important. Also, people not really knowing that they needed to report changes in bowel habits to their doctor. Many people had only gone to the bathroom, maybe had a bowel movement once a week, and thought that was normal. And so, because it was normal for them. And so these are the kinds of things that we found out as we were just kind of doing some focus group testing, and also as we were talking to people during the educational session. These were questions that came up. Again, colorectal cancer knowledge just increased across the board. Screening knowledge. A lot of people did not know, the majority of the people did not know, that colorectal cancer screening begins at age 50. People didn't know that if you had a family history of colorectal cancer, that you needed to be screened. And so this was very important for us. A lot of people, as you can see, the majority of people had not heard of a flexible sigmoidoscopy or had heard of a double contrast barium enema. And so it was very important for us to get the information out there. Screening practices. The majority of people had ever heard of and had a colonoscopy. Many people thought that they had a fecal occult blood test and had not, because they had a digital rectal exam at the OBGYN's office and thought that they had a fecal occult blood test, but after the educational sessions realized they had not. And so we had our screening rates to actually change, the self-reported screening rates to change based on their education. The majority of people felt very confident that they could have either one of the colorectal cancer screening tests, the fecal occult blood test, the flexible sigmoidoscopy, colonoscopy, or barium enema. The preference of testing was the colonoscopy, primarily because people understood that if you had a colonoscopy, that you didn't have to have another test. done. But if you had a fecal occult blood test done, a flexible sigmoidoscopy done, and there was anything abnormal, that you have to have it followed up by a colonoscopy. So it was like, let's just get it over with if we have to have a colonoscopy anyways. So that was kind of the general consensus. As it relates to the session acceptability and appropriateness and perceived effectiveness, the majority of the people, as you can see in the far right-hand column, agreed that they liked the sessions, thought that the information was personally relevant to them, that they trusted the information, thought the information was attractive. One of the things that was important to note in the appropriateness and acceptability of the program is, although people agreed that this was something that they benefited from, they indicated to us that if they saw a pamphlet at their church, they may not pick it up. Not necessarily because the information isn't important or personally relevant, but it's just something that you may not necessarily just be thinking about. And so you're not necessarily drawn to a pamphlet as much as you may be to a class. And so that was something that we found out during the course of our evaluation. Our strengths, 16 churches, as I mentioned, were recruited over a period of 2 months. The job training, again, 2 months, two educational sessions were able to be conducted at 15 of our 16 churches over the course of 3 months. The flexibility of the research staff contributed to the success of the church and the child recruitment, as well as the timely delivery of the two educational sessions. Limitations were that several churches did not meet their recruitment goals. The retention from the first to second educational session was approximately 80%. One church withdrew from the study due to internal administrative issues, and the educational sessions for a replacement church was delayed 4 months due to scheduling conflicts and a medical emergency. With the preliminary evaluation, as I mentioned before, the knowledge levels increased across the board. The knowledge of screening tests also increased. The confidence and the ability to schedule and complete a colorectal cancer screening test also increased. Educational sessions were perceived as appropriate, acceptable, and effective. The conclusion, of course, the obvious, a need for educational colorectal cancer and screening exists among the population. Using a community-based approach to formative research in the development of the intervention ensures that the program is culturally appropriate, personally relevant, and will be more likely to stimulate cognitive elaboration, leading to attitudinal and behavioral change. Engaging members of the target population in development and implementation of the program as stakeholders creates a sense of ownership and increases the probability of the initiation of similar health programs. Implications for research. Such an intervention has the potential of making an important contribution to the health disparities that exist between African Americans and whites with regard to colorectal cancer incidence and mortality. And the intervention materials and processes of this particular intervention will result in a replicable colorectal cancer early detection program and procedural manuals that will enhance the dissemination of findings and future replication in other areas of the country. And these are our team members listed there. And this is a grant that was funded by the Centers for Disease Control. It was actually a $1.4 million grant. And so we had quite a bit of funding and a lot of flexibility as it relates to incentives and the types of things that we were able to do as retention. And so that's about it, and I'll entertain questions after I let these other people go. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for the fine, outstanding presentation today. Is there any question you want to ask our presenters?